Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today for our Blog Talk Radio show in honor of Thyroid Cancer Awareness Month. Thyroid biopsy, what is it and when is it recommended? My name is Ariana Sibaldi, and I work with Columbia's Department of Surgery, Office of External Affairs. It is estimated that this year in the United States, over 60,000 people will be diagnosed with thyroid cancer. One common sign of thyroid cancer is a thyroid nodule. Thyroid nodules are very common and occur in up to 15 to 30% of the U.S. population. Only 5 to 10% of thyroid nodules will end up being cancer, and if it is caught within its early stages, the patient has a great prognosis and high chance of survival. Today we'll be answering people's questions as to how to detect if they have a thyroid nodule and when a thyroid biopsy may be required. I would like to welcome our guest today. We're here with Dr. Kevin Parrick, Director of the Thyroid Biopsy Clinic at New York Presbyterian Columbia. Dr. Parrick, will you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your experience here?
Thank you very much for having me here today. My name is Kevin Parrick. I run the Thyroid Biopsy Clinic here at Columbia. My specific research interests here are ultrasonography in lateral neck disease for thyroid cancer, parathyroid disease in end-stage renal disease in transplant patients, and surgical simulation tools for education for residents.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Parrick, for joining us today. Also here with us today is Dr. Salila Kura, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Columbia University Medical Center. Dr. Kura, will you please tell us a little bit about yourself as well?
Sure, of course. Thank you so much for having me here today. My name is Salila Kura. I'm a board-certified endocrinologist and the co-director of the Adrenal Center here at Columbia. I'm also part of the team at the Thyroid Center where we take care of patients with thyroid nodules and thyroid cancer.
Wonderful. Now, before we begin, I'd just like to cover a few housekeeping issues. Today we are taking questions live. Listeners can call into 347-539-5189 to speak with either Dr. Parrick or Dr. Kura. Again, that number is 347-539-5189. Alternatively, if you'd like to ask us a question via Twitter, you can always use our handle at Columbia Surgery. We will try to answer as many questions as we can within the next 30 minutes. However, if you have submitted a question and we are unable to get to it, we will follow up with you through email. So let's get started. So before we begin answering our followers' questions, I would like to begin with a few introductory questions we get here a lot at the center. So the first question is, what is a thyroid nodule? So Dr. Kura, will you mind answering our first question?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. A thyroid nodule is an abnormal growth of thyroid cells, which can form a lump within the thyroid gland. Most of the time, these nodules do not cause symptoms, but fortunately, most of them tend to not be cancerous.
So how are these thyroid nodules typically found, Dr. Kura?
Sure. So sometimes the nodules are noticed by the patient or someone close to the patient who notices that there's a bump on their neck or that their neck looks a little bit bigger. But other times they're detected on a routine physical exam where a patient's primary care doctor or other type of doctor may feel their neck and feel that there's a nodule there. And not uncommonly, thyroid nodules can also be found when patients have imaging with a CAT scan or MRI for another reason and it just happens to notice that there's a thyroid nodule there as well.
So once a thyroid nodule is found, what are the next steps? What does a thyroid biopsy look like? Dr. Parrick, would you mind answering this question?
Certainly. Once a thyroid nodule is found, it's important that a specialist decide whether or not a biopsy is needed based on the criteria that we see on the imaging of the nodules. Not all nodules require a biopsy. Some just need to be followed up with ultrasound. Thyroid biopsies themselves are taken with small needles, so the biopsy itself is just a few sheets of cells placed on a slide for viewing under a microscope by the pathologists.
And what are the possible results of a biopsy? What can we learn from having a thyroid biopsy?
So the whole purpose of the thyroid biopsy is to determine what's the percent risk of cancer in this nodule, and then what is the likely type of cancer if there is one. There's a classification system that breaks these results down into six different categories, and each one has a specific cancer risk. And then attached to them are likely recommendations that we give to patients.
Great. So thank you for providing some of that background for us. Let's start jumping into our followers' questions. First one comes from Nancy R. She asks, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. Can thyroid cancer be hereditary? Does it put my family at an increased risk? And is there a way I can get my family tested? Dr. Kerr, would you like to answer this question?
Sure. That's a great question, Nancy. Some types of thyroid cancer are hereditary, and it'd be important to discuss your specific risk with your doctor, since it's a very individualized discussion based on a variety of factors. For example, people who have a first-degree relative, meaning a parent, a sibling, or meaning brother or sister, or children, with thyroid cancer, an increased risk of developing thyroid cancer themselves. But the exact type of follow-up required is individualized and should be discussed with your doctor.
Great. And the next question comes from Kathy L. She says, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's hypothyroidism when my older daughter was born over 5 years ago. Last November 2012, an ultrasound showed a small nodule on my thyroid. An ultrasound this past August 2013 revealed it grew to slightly over 1 centimeter. I was going to have it biopsied, but I heard that if there is cancer in the thyroid, a needle biopsy can potentially spread the cancer to the areas in the path of the needle outside of the thyroid. I'm wondering if there's any truth to this. Also, I'm considering waiting another 6 months to have an ultrasound done to monitor the nodule instead of having it biopsied right away. So, Dr. Parikh, is there any harm to waiting? That's what Kathy would like to know.
This is an important question. To answer the first part about whether or not the biopsy could spread the cancer to other parts of the thyroid or the neck, that is not the case with thyroid cancer. It has never been shown that a biopsy to a cancerous thyroid nodule causes any spread of the cancer to other parts of the neck or the thyroid. So although this can happen with other types of cancer, it does not happen with thyroid cancer. So there's no reason not to have the biopsy. And with regards to whether or not there's any harm to waiting, the answer is yes, there is harm to waiting. These cancers, when most of the types of cancers, when they're found early, when they're still within the thyroid, the outcomes are likely to be very good. The most important thing is to get the patients treated as soon as possible. So my recommendation to my patients is to have the biopsy done sooner rather than later.
That's some really great advice for Kathy. But while we're on the topic of biopsy risks, I know that we also have a lot of questions submitted about if you can get a biopsy when you're pregnant. So can you receive a biopsy if you're pregnant, Dr. Parikh?
You can, and in fact, you should. We know that pregnant women who are diagnosed with thyroid nodules should be evaluated and biopsied early so that there's no delay in their care. We know that pregnant women do just as well as non-pregnant women when treated appropriately for cancer. The only risk is in delay in the care that they receive.
And are there any other risks that we should be concerned about, like when getting a biopsy or even an ultrasound?
So, no, the ultrasound itself is the same ultrasound technology that is used in sonograms of the fetus in the uterus. There's no radiation involved. There's no risk of the ultrasound to either the mother or the baby. In terms of the risk of a needle in the neck for the thyroid biopsy, whenever we put a needle in the thyroid, there's always a little bit of bleeding. When that happens, I just hold pressure at the bedside and check with ultrasound to make sure it's resolved. Although I've never seen it, I know statistically in literature there's a 1 in 11,000 chance that there would be any significant bleeding in the neck after a biopsy.
Great. Thank you so much for that information, Dr. Parikh. Let's go take another follower's question. This question comes from Jill R. She asks, after being diagnosed with papillary thyroid cancer years ago, I have some nodules that are still suspicious. However, upon biopsy, the pain is so excruciating that I am unable to still get one pass. So far, they were unable to get any tissue. Should I be put under to have these biopsies? Dr. Parikh, would you like to answer this question?
Yeah, I'm very sorry she had such a difficult time with a biopsy before. I'm not sure what technique was used at that time. There's certainly different types of biopsies. Normally, biopsies are not that painful. And I do not recommend general anesthesia or being put under for biopsies, because although that is certainly a very low risk, it is not a no-risk procedure. So thyroid biopsies are not usually performed under anesthesia. Obviously, many patients have different reactions to needles. Most patients are relieved when they find out that it's not as painful as they expected it to be, but of course some people are very anxious and do have pain with the thyroid biopsies. But so far, I've never had anybody not be able to get through the procedure itself.
Thank you. And I actually know that a lot of questions that were talked about, being asked if it was painful, so I'm sure that's actually a relief off of a lot of minds. So the next question comes from Anna V. She says, how common or uncommon is it for a calcified thyroid nodule to contain cancer? I had a papillary cancer nodule that was calcified and another one, also cancer but not calcified. Before my thyroidectomy, the doctors were unable to biopsy the calcified nodule, but I was told that they were less worried about that one because those are typically not a problem. So Dr. Kuro, would you mind answering this question?
Sure, that's a very important question that Anna is asking. There are different types of calcifications. So some calcifications known as punctate or microcalcifications, they're associated with an increased risk of thyroid cancer, whereas other types of calcifications may not always indicate an increased risk. And as Dr. Perrick was saying earlier, it's very important to have a specialist review the ultrasound and determine whether or not a patient actually needs a biopsy of this or what characteristics the nodule has and what the next step in treatment should be after reviewing what the nodule looks like.
Great. Thank you. So that actually leads us to a follow-up question. I know that both of you mentioned that not all nodules need to be biopsied. So with thyroid nodules being so common, what characteristics do you look for to know that a nodule needs to be biopsied? Dr. Perrick?
So when I evaluate thyroid nodules, I use ultrasound, which is the best technique to figure out what the characteristics of a nodule are. The most important first criteria is the size. If a nodule is over a centimeter, in almost all cases, I'm going to recommend a biopsy of that nodule. If a nodule is between a half a centimeter and a centimeter, then it has to meet certain other criteria, such as how dense is it, what are the nature of the calcifications? Does it show any signs of invading other surrounding structures? And what's the shape of it? Those are some of the characteristics I can evaluate with an ultrasound to decide if it needs a biopsy.
Thank you. So actually, I would like to take a quick moment to welcome anyone who may have just tuned into the show and let them know that we're here with Dr. Kevin Perrick, Director of the Thyroid Biopsy Clinic here at New York Presbyterian, and Dr. Salila Kura, Assistant Professor of Medicine at Columbia University Medical Center. Again, if you'd like to ask our experts a question, you can always call in live. The phone number is 347-539-5189. Again, that number is 347-539-5189. Or you can always send a question to us via Twitter by mentioning the handle at Columbia Surgery. Also, if you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow our channel to be updated on future episodes and listen to our growing library of health topics. So let's continue on to our next question. It comes from a Teresa A. She asks, what lifestyle decisions may affect my risk of thyroid cancer? Dr. Kuro, would you mind answering this question?
Sure, and that's a great question that Teresa brings up. And thyroid cancer is more common in people who've had a history of exposure to high doses of radiation, people who are older than 40, and people with a family history of thyroid cancer. But in most cases, we don't really have a specific reason why someone developed thyroid cancer, so it's very difficult to suggest any lifestyle modifications when we really don't know exactly what it is that causes most thyroid cancers.
Great, thank you. And so moving on to the next question comes from a Joey T. He asks, if biopsies are benign, do I need to take medication? Dr. Perrick, would you answer this question, please?
Certainly. The answer is no. The recommendation for a benign biopsy is typically to follow with ultrasounds in the future. In certain cases, a surgery would still be recommended despite the benign biopsy, but no medication is needed to treat or suppress a thyroid nodule.
Great, thank you. The next question comes from Katerina V. She asks, I came to the U.S. from Russia and live near the Chernobyl area. What do I do to help monitor my risk of thyroid cancer? Dr. Kura?
Sure. So that's a very important question that Katerina is asking. You know, the radioactive iodine released during nuclear disasters, such as Chernobyl in 1986, can cause thyroid cancer. And the best suggestion that I can make is that since this exposure may put you at an increased risk for developing thyroid cancer, I would either see your primary care doctor or an endocrinologist and have a thorough history and physical exam, including a thyroid exam. And then your physician can decide whether you need an ultrasound and what other further testing is required after speaking with you and examining you.
Thank you, Dr. Kura. So if radiation exposure puts a person at increased risk, should this be something people who are affected by the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear incident be thinking about as well?
Yes, it is. This is something that people affected by Fukushima should be thinking about. Children tend to be more affected by this exposure, but adults are also at increased risk. And thyroid cancer can develop a few years after exposure, but it has even been seen decades after, such as some of the people who were exposed at Chernobyl, and even decades after they've developed thyroid cancer. So it is important to monitor and to keep it in mind that there is increased risk from this type of radiation exposure.
Great, thank you. The next question comes from Rachel E. She asks, if I had thyroid cancer and gone under treatment successfully, does it mean that I'm at risk of developing other cancers or that my thyroid cancer may come back? Dr. Kura, would you mind answering this question as well?
Of course, and then thanks for that question, Rachel, because this is a question that comes up a lot in our practice. And thyroid cancer is very treatable and usually has an excellent prognosis. That being said, there are some cases where the cancer does come back, and that risk is based on the individual characteristics of your particular cancer. And this would be a great question to ask your endocrinologist, because the risk really is dependent on what type of cancer you had and whether that cancer was spread at the time that it was diagnosed. And with regards to your risk of developing other cancers, this is also very individualized and something that you should speak with your doctor about. There are several factors, including whether you have a hereditary or inherited form of the cancer, what your risk factors were that made you develop thyroid cancer in the first place, and what treatment you received for the thyroid cancer. All of these things influence your risk of developing another type of cancer in the future, and it would be important to ask your doctor specifically about your case so that you can get information that's related to your particular type of cancer.
That's some wonderful advice for Rachel. Thank you so much. The next question comes from Kevin R. He asks, if there is a positive biopsy result, will there be any other types of tests that will be required before you determine what type of treatment? Dr. Parrick, could you answer this question?
Of course, he has a good first name. In most cases, blood tests, an ultrasound that includes an evaluation of both the thyroid and all related cervical lymph node compartments, along with the biopsy result, are all the testing a patient will need before surgery. There are, however, instances where a patient may require other tests to make sure that they're safe for surgery or to evaluate for specific diagnoses that the surgeon may be considering.
Great, thank you. The next question comes from a Jen F. She asks, can x-rays or MRIs increase my risk of receiving thyroid cancer? Dr. Kura, will you answer this question?
Sure, and that's a fantastic question and one I hear often. And I wanted to start off by saying that routine x-rays like dental x-rays or mammograms have not been shown to cause thyroid cancer. But high-dose radiation exposure, especially as a child, can increase the risk of developing thyroid cancer. So in the past, they used to treat acne and inflamed tonsils with x-ray treatment, and that has been shown to increase a person's risk of developing thyroid cancer later in life. And sometimes people receive x-ray therapy for cancer such as breast cancer and lymphoma, and this may also put a person at increased risk of developing thyroid cancer. But again, routine x-rays like dental x-rays and mammograms do not.
Thank you for that clarification, Dr. Kura. The next question comes from a David S. He asks, can I receive a biopsy if I take blood thinners such as ASA or Coumadin? Dr. Parrick, would you mind answering this question?
The answer is you can receive a biopsy if you take blood thinners, but it's important to talk to the surgeon, and the surgeon will then, or whoever is doing the biopsy. When I have patients who take blood thinners, I always learn about what's the blood thinner and talk to their cardiologist or medicine doctor who's prescribing the medication. Aspirin, I routinely do biopsies on patients with aspirin and am not concerned about it. For Coumadin, Plavix, Pradaxa, and some of the other newer blood thinners, I speak to their doctor and find out whether or not it's safe to hold that medication. And if it is, I'll hold it for a few days, do the biopsy, and put them right back on it. If it's not safe to hold the medication, then I will still do the biopsy while they're taking the medication, and I'll just stay with them for a little while longer, ultrasounding their neck and holding pressure to make sure there's no bleeding.
Thank you, Dr. Parrick. And I think that you also brought up an important part about communicating with your doctor and telling him any concerns you may have.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question comes from Twitter. Can there be a false positive in a thyroid biopsy? Dr. Parrick, do you want to weigh in?
Yes, and the answer is yes, there is a chance of a false positive. Each one of the six categories of FNA or biopsy results that we get has a percent risk that it is cancer, and then, of course, a percent risk that it's not cancer. And that's what the categories help us advise the patient is, what's the risk of that false positive versus the risk of a true positive.
And what do you do if a biopsy is indeterminate?
Well, sometimes that term is used to describe inadequate specimens. Other times for a result known as atypia of uncertain significance, or AUS. Inadequate specimens don't have enough thyroid cells to make a determination, so most will require rebiopsy. Although with certain cysts, this is an expected result and would not be rebiopsied. With AUS or atypia, we delay the rebiopsy for 3 months in order to let possible inflammation resolve, which can be leading to this category of biopsy result. We may also perform genetic testing on the sample at that time to help push us to a higher or lower risk category for that biopsy result.
Great, thank you. And now I see we're actually almost out of time, so I think we only have time for one more question. And it comes from a Lindsay L. She asks, is eating kelp good for your thyroid? I hear that it's high in iodine. Dr. Kerr, would you answer this question, please?
Sure, and Lindsay is right that kelp is high in iodine, which is why some people have said that it's good for the thyroid, and it may help some people with iodine deficiency. But in the United States, iodine deficiency is pretty uncommon due to the use of iodized salt. So currently, there's no strong evidence that taking kelp actually reduces your risk of thyroid cancer.
That's very interesting. Thank you. So Dr. Parrick and Dr. Kura, thank you both so much for your time. Your answers were incredibly informative, and we loved having you on the show today.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, if you would like more information about the Thyroid Biopsy Clinic at New York Presbyterian Columbia, please visit our website at columbiathyroidcenter.org, or you can always call us at 212-305-6969. Again, that number is 212-305-6969. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into Thyroid Biopsy. What is it, and when is it recommended? We apologize if you submitted a question today to us and we did not have time to answer during the show. As we mentioned earlier in the program, though, we will respond to you via email. Thank you for tuning in, and have a healthy day.